Perhaps not. Might work. No. Okay. This particular setup. This morning it was interesting. All I did was I brought the screen in. I just wanted to make sure the screen still worked, so that one day we might be able to try this setup. And I was assailed by the people on setup. The PA guys said, "No, do it today, do it today." And I said, "Okay, then, let's go for it." I thought we'd need more time to find the thing that worked, but it seems to work. We would like your feedback on this arrangement of chairs. I found some positives already. For one, I think the band looked great over there like that. And I think the band are a bit more included as well. Then, of course, we're all closer to each other. I'm closer to you guys when I speak. Now, those of you who sit in the front rows are probably thinking, what's he talking about? But actually, there's so many others who don't, you know, sit further back, who are usually like a long way away, and it's harder to communicate. It does feel a bit more relaxed for me, and also actually the projector works better because it's closer. But I would like feedback, suggestions. We may stay with this from now. We'll see. Okay. On the subject of chairs, by the way, you'll know that we bought some new chairs. We did have 8. We're actually going to buy 4 more because someone has kindly said they would purchase another 4. But that's the maximum we can have. If you want to sit on a comfortable chair, basically they are for those with bad backs or perhaps elderly or whatever. But if you would like to sit on one, if they're available, just grab one. We will try and help you. Don't squabble. Thank you. But we'll have 12, so that should be plenty for those who need them. Okay. Oh, by the way, we've had quite a lot of donations, which is great, to pay for all these chairs. One or two donations to be added might be helpful. So if you'd like to donate, feel free. Thank you. Okay. So today is our second sermon in Hebrews. The main theme of Hebrews is how the new covenant, which is the new way to God through faith in Jesus Christ, is far superior to the old covenant with its laws and sacrifices that had to be repeated over and over again. And the writer of the Hebrews is trying to convince these that they're actually Jewish Christians, but they're beginning to fall away. They're beginning to go back to the old ways. And he's at pains to show that Jesus is a much better way and there's no need to return to the old ways. And that's why it says up there, Jesus is greater, because that's pretty much the theme of the whole book. Now, because of that, the writer wants his readers to have faith in Jesus. And in chapter 11, as you've heard, he has much to say about faith and includes a long list of heroes of faith as examples for us. Now, the scholar F.F. Bruce, in his commentary on this book and on this chapter, he says this about these heroes of faith. He says, they had nothing but the promises of God to rest upon, without any visible evidence that these promises would ever be fulfilled. They had nothing except the promises of God to rest upon. No visible evidence that these promises would ever be fulfilled. All those promises were fulfilled, but actually not necessarily in the lifetime of the people to whom the promises were made. And today, you might have thought we were going to go through the book bit by bit, but we're not. We're actually going to leap forward to chapter 11, and we're going to look at two of those heroes of faith that we've heard about this morning, Abraham and Sarah. Okay. So these are heroes of faith. Do you want to be a hero of faith? Yeah. You might well be a hero of faith. There's just one act required. There's just one thing you have to do to be a hero of faith. Right, let me pray. Lord God, it's in our heart that we want to be heroes of faith. And if it's not, Lord, I pray you'd put it there. Lord, may we learn from Abraham and Sarah. May we learn from you. And may we be encouraged that I can be a hero of faith. And Lord, may we also be encouraged as you tell us you are a hero of faith. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look at seven qualities of faith, qualities of a hero of faith that we see in Abraham and Sarah. I have to say it's mostly Abraham because Sarah doesn't come into the story all that much, but she is there with him. And we can assume that the things God is saying to Abraham, he's actually saying to both of them, because they are husband and wife, and they are together throughout, and they obviously have faith that's similar to each other. So the first quality is God first, no matter what. God first, no matter what. So God is my first love. This could be misleading, not that God is my first love and I move on to others, but God is my very first. He is first to me. And I, the way I like to put it is God first, no matter what. It says in verse 8 of that passage in Hebrews, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He didn't know where he was going. He just set off. And he set off to a far country. He went a long, long way. And in all his travels and doings, we find that Abraham always puts God first. His closeness to God is evident. He's totally dependent on God. So is God first, no matter what, for you? Is God first, no matter what? And in just the same way as you can see it in Abraham and Sarah's lives, in all their travels and all their doings, if God is first in your life and in my life, it will be evident. You will see it in your travels, in your doings, in the decisions that you make, because you'll talk to God about them. If yes, that God is first no matter what for you, then you can be a hero of faith. And if no, you can still be a hero of faith as long as you do the one thing. You have to do the one thing in order to be a hero of faith. Second quality, man or woman of prayer. There's many examples in Abraham's life where he's praying. And there's lots of examples where he has an ongoing dialogue with God. For example, in the whole episode with Isaac, you'll remember that God spoke to Abraham and said to him, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. And in all that episode, there was a conversation that went on, an ongoing dialogue. Then in Genesis 18, Abraham has an ongoing dialogue with God about the destruction of Sodom. And Abraham is trying to say to God, look, God, if there's this many people in Sodom who are faithful to you, will you still destroy it? The point, though, is Abraham has this ongoing dialogue as he is a man of prayer. So, do you give significant time to prayer? Do you have one-to-one times with God on a regular basis? And if you do, you can be a hero of faith. And if you don't, you can still be a hero of faith as long as you do the one thing. Number three, listen to God. Now see that chap. How can you tell that he listens to God? Anything in that picture that you think says he listens to God? He's got a Bible in his hand, yeah. That's one. I think we can assume he's praising God. I think in order to do that, you have to hear God and know that God is worthy to be praised. Some of us think, oh, I never hear God, but actually you wouldn't be here unless you heard God. So listen to God. As I said, Abraham and Sarah had that ongoing dialogue, and of course that requires listening to God. And here we can look at Sarah in verse 11. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered God faithful who had made the promise. Now, actually, what happened back in Genesis 18 was when the Lord came and spoke to both of them and said that Sarah was going to have a child, a baby. It says, Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? Because she was 90, I believe, when she had Isaac, and Abraham was 100. Okay. She was rebuked, actually, by the Lord for laughing. And the Lord says, Sarah will have a son. And off he goes. Well, Sarah listens, and she starts believing that promise. And, of course, Isaac is born. And after Isaac is born, she says, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. So she changes her laughing, thinking, how crazy is this, to her laughing because she's heard God and she's been able to trust him and the promise has come. And there are many examples of Abraham and Sarah. It's well worth reading their story from Genesis 12 to 25. And one amazing way that they hear God speak is right at the beginning when God first speaks to Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3. He says to Abraham, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Everyone will be blessed through Abraham. How's that? How is everyone blessed through Abraham? Jesus. Exactly right. This was a promise of Jesus, you know. And Abraham figured out that there was something special because it says in Hebrews 11:10 that Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And that is a picture of heaven, you know, of the new place where God rules. And Abraham could see Jesus and he could see this heaven that was coming, you know. And he could see all that because he was so close to God that he could hear God listening to God, heard those promises. So, are you regularly listening to God? Are you regularly putting yourself in a place where you listen to God? And if you're one of those, because I know there are those who say, I never hear God speak. Well, can I tell you, you do, otherwise you wouldn't be here. But also, I would like to help you, or maybe another mature Christian, because we all need to be in a place where we know that we listen to God and God speaks to us and we hear God speak. Yeah, because how else are we going to make important decisions in our lives unless we hear God speak? How else are we going to grow as Christians unless we hear God speak? So, are you regularly listening to God? If yes, you can be a hero of faith. And if no, guess what? You can still be a hero of faith as long as you do the one thing. That's right. You've got to do the one thing. Okay, so number four, obedient to God. It's the fourth quality of a hero of faith. Obedient to God. Now, we've already heard about Abraham, how by faith when he was called, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And an amazing bit of Abraham's obedience, of course, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. So here's Abraham being told that a whole nation is going to come through him. And he knows that Isaac is the child of promise, the child through whom the promise is going to come. And then he's told to kill Isaac. Right? But he still goes ahead because he has an idea. God, you know, God's going to sort this out one way or another. And interestingly, you hear that when they've got servants with them, and they stop at the bottom of the mountain, and Abraham says, right, me and Isaac are going to carry on up the hill as they are there, and you guys wait for us, we will come back to you. And he doesn't say, he makes that statement that we will come back to you, which suggests that he had an idea that God was going to resolve this somehow. And the vision that he had, the promise that he had of the nation, was still going to come about. So, are you ready to obey God no matter what he asks you to do, in small things and in larger things? Now, it's possible that you or I have made decisions that stop us from hearing God in some areas of our lives. So have you said to yourself, I'll never, or I won't, or I can't? Those sort of things, when we say, I will never this or whatever, it stops us hearing God because we've already decided we're never going to do it. We can say, I'll never be someone who prays regularly, or I'll never go on a retreat or have a day of prayer, you know, where I spend several hours with God. Or we might say, well, I'm never going to join a home group. Or I'm never going to have time for whatever it might be. Abraham hadn't even said, I'll never sacrifice my son. He hadn't even said that. You know, he was open to do whatever God said. Good news, you know, is God doesn't tend to tell us to do things that we don't like, we totally don't like, or that won't be good for us, that we won't enjoy once we've done them. So what have you said, I'll never do? What have you said, I'll never do? Have a little think. What have you said, I'm never going to do whatever? And you know, it's actually not helping your growth as a Christian, or you suspect it's not. You're trying to convince yourself that it's not a problem. Here's a question for you, okay, as you think about what you've said I'll never do. Is God okay with that? Now, it's possible that he is. There may be something that you've said you'll never do, and actually God doesn't want you to do. But are you sure? Have you talked to God about it? Have you asked God? You know, we are living stones. Yeah, remember that? That's our overall vision for the whole year, living stones, and that's about growing in discipleship, growing individually as Christians. Living stones never say never unless and only if God does. Right? Living stones never say never because it limits us. Have you said to God, I will obey you no matter what? If yes, you can be a hero of faith. If no, you can still be a hero of faith as long as you do the one thing. Okay, number five, unlimited vision. What an amazing vision God gave to Abraham. He even changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many. And in Genesis 15, it says, Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, you've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. It's hard to say that word. Anyway, he took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them, which of course he couldn't. And then God said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. So God gave Abraham this incredible vision. He's got, at the time he didn't have any children. And he's looking up at the stars, and there's, you know, he can't count them, there's so many. And God is saying, your descendants are going to be as many as that. And we know that it's all come true, don't we? We know it's all come true. We know that Abraham has had an amazing number of descendants. But he was stood there with no children, believing God, because there was no limit to the vision that he was prepared to accept God give him. His vision included a great nation, a great name, a promised land, and his vision, as we've heard, included Jesus as well. And this is a quote from Brother Andrew: "If your vision doesn't scare you, then your vision or your God is too small." Abraham knew that God's got more.
Yeah.
He believed God's promise rather than the circumstances. So do you know that God's got more?
Yeah.
For you, are you open to God expanding your vision for your Christian life? How you can serve him, what you can do? Are you open to new things? Are you open maybe to new horizons, new challenges? Are you open to new experiences with God? Are you open to accept that you, the way you are today, is not the you forever? God's got more. Yeah? God's got more. So, are you open to God expanding your vision? If yes, you can be a hero of faith. If no, you can still be a hero of faith as long as you do the one thing. Right. Number six, living sacrifice. Romans 12:1 says this: "In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." And C.T. Studd said, he was a famous missionary to China, India, and Africa. So he was a living sacrifice. He was also one who had unlimited vision. God took him to all of those places. And he said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him." Abraham sacrificed his will for God's will, just as Jesus did. So he gave up his home, friends, family. He was willing to give up his son. Without a willingness to sacrifice, Abraham and Sarah would not have attained to the vision God had for them. And you and I can miss out too on all that God's got for us because we are not prepared to give God more. Now, God's got more, but we have to give God more. Are you prepared and ready to give God more, to be sacrificial in your living out of your faith and following Jesus? Are you ready to be a living sacrifice? Jesus, the way Jesus put it, was take up your cross. And so are you prepared to take up your cross, whatever that may involve? If yes, you can be a hero of faith. If no, you can still be a hero of faith as long as you do the one thing. Who's fed up with me saying that?
No.
I'm only going to say it one more time. Right. Whoa. Lastly, final quality of a hero of faith. I was going to ask you to guess what it is, but I put it up. It is, of course, faith. Romans 8:24 says this: "We hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." And that's what he calls faith. We hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And here's another quote about what faith is: "Trust God no matter what, even when it isn't happening or doesn't happen the way you thought." And that was written by the famous scholar Melvin. Right? "Trust God no matter what, even when it isn't happening or doesn't happen the way you thought. Verse 13 amazingly says, now he's talking, this is Hebrews 11, he's talking about the people who he's already mentioned, and he says, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance." When Abraham died, does anybody know how many children of promise did he have? He's told, "Your descendants are going to be as many as the stars in the sky." How many of the descendants of the promised line, how many were alive when he died? Anybody know? Okay, not many is correct. His son Isaac was alive, and Isaac's two sons, Jacob and Esau, were alive. And Esau, actually, the race didn't descend through Esau. He went off and he became father of the Edomites. But I think that's right. So actually, of the line of descendants, when Abraham died, there was only two of them. Was it worth him trusting God all his life for that promise? Of course it was, because it wouldn't have come about if he hadn't. Romans 8, 24, as I said, we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Verse 12 says, from this one man, and he as good as dead, that's not very polite, is it? But never mind. He as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, as countless as the sand on the seashore. So just as promised, just as promised. So to be a hero of faith, you and I have to learn to trust God anyway. Do you know, the biggest area in my life I've ever had to trust God in is the whole area of our church building. And that's been pretty challenging. But every time I pray, every time I go back to God, me personally, I always hear God encouraging me again and saying, yes, it is going to happen. And I am so encouraged by so many others who do the same. We've got this amazing group of people who meet on a Tuesday morning to pray about it. And these are people who I've got the utmost respect for, faithful prayers, and not, you know, with heads in the cloud. Not one of them has ever come to me and said, oh, I think we're there's something wrong here, right? We've all continued to hear. And then so many others amongst you are exactly the same. We've all continued to hear God keeping speaking about the vision of this church building. I know that across the road they're building houses, aren't they? And in about 10 years' time, there's going to be 3,000 houses over there. So the parish is going to be twice the size. And I'm certain that in 10 years' time, that church will be there. Now, I don't know when it's going to happen, this year, next year, or whenever. But I know that if we go forward 10, 12 years, there will be this parish will be twice the size. And there'll be a busy, busy church and community centre up there. It'll be there. And because God has promised it. You know, and he's promised it over and over again. It would have been great if I could go to God and he'd say, actually, Melbourne, it's not going to happen. You know, and I can go, oh, thank goodness for that. We don't have to worry about that anymore. But no, he keeps promising it. So, and that's, I was so encouraged when I read all this about all these heroes of faith who believed God and didn't even happen in their lifetime. I think this will happen in my lifetime, by the way. Can you put your faith in Jesus, in God, in the Holy Spirit, totally, for everything? If yes, you can be a hero of faith. If no, you can still be a hero of faith as long as you do the one thing. Who wants to know what the one thing is? Really? Okay. Are you a hero of faith? Do you have God first no matter what? Are you a man or a woman of prayer? Do you listen to God? Are you obedient to God? Do you have vision that can be unlimited? Are you a living sacrifice? Are you a person who has real faith? Well, if there's one or more of those missing, you can still be a hero of faith, even if all those seven are missing in your life. Because if you do the one thing, you will grow in all of those areas. The one thing. What did Abraham do? Verse 1 of Hebrews says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And Raymond Brown wrote this in his commentary on Hebrews. Faith is man's response, very important phrase, man's response, man or woman, of course, to what God has said. It takes seriously the message of God. It does not merely agree with God's word, but acts upon it. And that too is incredibly important. Acts upon it. Because the one thing is to put faith into action. Put faith into action. Abraham put faith into action in all his obedient acts, as did all the heroes of faith. That is the one thing. Put your faith into action. Now, it's just the one thing. You do have to do it all the time. But if you put faith into action, you will then learn to live a life of faith. If you live and act by faith in God. Now, I was writing this and thinking about it and all that, and then interestingly, I saw in my devotional Bible, the whole chapter is actually headed Faith into Action. And I thought, no wonder that was the main thing that hit me, you know? It's all about putting faith into action. So how do I do that? How do I put faith into action? Well, number one, decide today to take steps of faith, putting faith into action. That means it might mean doing things that you haven't done before, like attend a prayer meeting, join a home group, sign up for Freedom in Christ course, putting your faith that God will speak in those through those things, and he will actually use you to bless others as well. It might be something to do with prayer. It might be something to do with someone who God wants you to speak to. It might be something to do with sacrificial giving. It might be something to do with what God wants you to volunteer for. There may be a change of direction that God wants you to take. But decide today that you will take steps of faith, that you will put your faith into action. Secondly, promise God that you will. Promise God. Make a vow to God. Promise him that you will. Thirdly, spend time in prayer, asking God to show you what you should do. For all of us, it'll be different. You know, what God says to me about this will be very different probably to what he says to you, because we're all unique. But ask God to show you what you should do, what steps to take. Be totally open to him. Expect to be challenged. And then begin now to take steps of faith. It might be small steps to begin with. Some of us have been taking small steps. We've been taking medium-sized steps. And maybe God is speaking and saying, I want you to take some really big steps and see where they lead you. The one thing, putting our faith into action, will make us heroes of faith as we keep it up, as we make it a way of life to put our faith into action. It's always a scary thing. So if your faith isn't scaring you, something's probably missing. Yeah? And as we take steps which might be scary, and God comes and God does what he wants to do, it's just amazing for us. Let me pray. Father God, praise and thank you for your challenge to us to be heroes of faith. Lord, I pray you'd speak into our hearts and minds. Help us to make those promises to you that we will indeed take steps of faith. Help us to take it seriously, Lord, so that we then spend time with you. Time with you, talking to you, listening to you, and taking the steps of faith that you want us to take. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.